Welcome back to another powerful episode of the podcast. I'm your host, Nick Baer, founder and CEO of Baer Performance Nutrition. Every week, we bring you insightful stories, knowledge, and inspiration to help you reach your full potential in life, fitness, and business. If you enjoy the message we're promoting in this podcast, we would greatly appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review on the platform you are listening to. Make sure to subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes that embody the Go One More mindset. Tony Reyes. Dude, what I'm actually curious about is I just ended up getting adjusted by Dr. Scott.
Uh-huh.
Dr. Scott comes to the office every Tuesday. He adjusts the team from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. And he told me to ask you how your first adjustment was last week. Did you get adjusted today?
No, I didn't.
For a reason?
I chickened out because of the first one.
What happened last week?
It was great. He's a super nice guy. Love him. Love the guy. I got scared that he was going to break my back and my neck.
Well, did you tense up when he started adjusting?
Yeah, dude. I mean, of course. He's like, just relax. I'm just going to torque your body with everything I got in a way that it's never moved before, but it's all good. Just relax. It's very hard for me to relax. You know what I mean? So, but it was good. I got snapped and crackled and popped like I've never done before. And I felt good afterwards. I just, for some reason this morning, I think it's because I just started running again and I'm a little tighter than normal. So I thought, no, today's the day. He's going to just pop something.
The hardest part is when he says, relax.
Dude.
And then you're in your head, you're trying to relax and you realize you can't relax. And then you're anticipating the adjustment. And I'm like, I have 5 seconds to relax.
Yeah. You're literally starting a countdown, which there's never been a relaxed countdown. It's not like you count down to something to relax. It's just that it just like amplifies the stress even more. So I maybe missed the sign up on purpose today. So my bad. I love you though. Thank you for all you do.
Have you ever seen the movie Due Date?
Yeah. Oh yeah. With Robert Downey Jr. and Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah.
Love that movie.
And when they crash the car over the bridge and what's his name? Zach
Galifianakis.
Galifianakis.
Yeah.
He was asleep, so he wasn't tensed up at all. Didn't get injured at all. That's what I think of when I'm getting adjusted is
right.
I have to stay relaxed so my body absorbs the adjustment. And if you tense up the wrong crack, you're dead.
You're dead. Like literally dead. And that's why like the neck thing, it just freaks me out, man. And I trust him, you know, much as you can. I mean, I knew him for 30 seconds and he was like slamming my neck to the side. It freaks me out. I definitely have the Robert Downey Jr. Energy when I'm in there.
I've been getting adjusted every week since I turned 30.
That's probably a good move.
And when I turned 30, what happened was Steph actually, she surprised me with a trip to Tahoe. Mm-hmm. It was one of those trips where like we drove to the airport, we park in the garage and she was like, reach under the seat, pull out where we're going.
Oh, dang.
It's Tahoe. I was psyched. But I had like this little headache traveling. When we landed in, I guess we landed in California. I think we actually landed in Nevada.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Nevada. And drove into Tahoe. I had the worst headache ever. Came back from that trip. I was like, well, this is 30. Started getting adjusted every single week since. And now if I don't get adjusted, I'm off.
So that's what they get you. They give you a taste. They give you a little taste, get you addicted.
I'm pretty addicted right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's all I'm doing. I'm not scared. I'm just breaking the cycle. See?
Genius.
I turned that around. Exactly. I'm so brave for breaking the cycle. It has nothing to do with me being terrified of having my neck snapped.
What are you running for again?
So I am going to do the half marathon, the Austin half marathon in February.
The Austin.
That's right.
It's a tough course.
You know, some say I was built tough. So it's like,
choose your hard.
Exactly. And I'm choosing it's definitely a hard course. But it's my first, like, so I've ran a half marathon before, and a marathon, but this is the first time I've actually done it like with other people, because like when I did it before, it was in COVID. So I just did it by myself, which is not fun. Like there's no crowd and there's no other racers and there's no like, yay, and like banners and like no one handing out Cliff Bars, you know, none of that.
The Austin Marathon energy is next level too.
It looks amazing. It looks amazing. I can't wait. Just to be around other people while running is going to be sick.
I'm running the full. I'm running it with A-Rod. I'm pacing him.
Oh, sick. Okay.
So he's been training for a few months now, and I'll run with him. So I'll train. I'll add some more mileage in, but I'm excited for that race because that was my first marathon.
Yeah.
Like I said, the energy there is just next level.
I might pop off a 7:30 pace. You know, you never know with that energy.
So funny story about my, when I went for my first sub-3 marathon, I towed the line and something in my mind switched where I was like, you know what? Mentally, I can run a sub-3-hour marathon. Physically, I was not trained or prepared for a sub-3. But I was on the starting line. I was like, all I got to do is hold a 6:45 minute per mile pace. I can mentally tell my body to do this for 26.2 miles. I went out so hard on that course, that first 6 miles. I mean, it's hills. It's rolling hills for the first six.
Yeah.
I died at mile six. I was holding like 5:55 minute per mile paces. Just stupid.
Yeah.
One of the dumbest races I've ever done.
Oh, yeah.
And that last 20 miles was just holding on. Missed it by 24 minutes. 24 minutes.
I mean, it's not 24 seconds. That's a pretty big chunk.
It's a big chunk.
But I mean, it's closer than like completely falling out of the race completely. Yeah, I have no problem starting too fast. There's no like, all right, Tony, you got to dial it back. I'm always like, I'm just going to go as slow as possible for as long as possible just to ensure I finish.
Sustain.
Exactly. But this time, actually, I need to actually like train properly for it, because the last half marathon, I did it in 2:33, you know, not breaking any world records here, but I would just like to break that. So I want it faster than 2:30.
What's that pace?
Slow?
Specifically.
I think it's like, dude, don't make me do math right here on the podcast. I don't know, like 11 something.
It's not bad though.
I mean, you know, yeah, no, not, it's not bad. Not for a guy who's like just started or whatever.
But you were training in California when you trained for that last one.
Yeah.
You're in August, Texas, Central Texas right now.
Yeah.
How's that treating you?
It's horrible. So hot here. It's so hot here. Like, it's impossibly hot. Like, it's, I used to run in the middle of the day in California. Not that big of a problem. It was hot, but I was like, all right, I just need like a little extra water. Here it's like, no. Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
You won't see people running in the middle of the day here.
You know what I saw yesterday? I saw a freak. I saw like for a second, I was like, is that freaking Nick in my neighborhood? Dude's running. It's what time was it? It was like 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, something like that. Yeah. It had to be after four. So it's like 4:30. I'm getting home and there's this guy running uphill shirtless. It's like 102 outside.
I need to find this guy.
He's running shirtless. That's not all, because that's not enough to just be running in the middle of the day in Central Texas with your shirt off. He's got on a oxygen restriction mask, looking like Bane running uphill.
You know those things don't actually work.
Hey, man, what I'm saying is it's insane. I don't care about the effectiveness of the mask. It still, like, limits your oxygen.
Yeah.
Have you ever had one on?
No, but
it's a horrible feeling.
I remember when they got really popular.
Yeah.
I think it was when I was in like high school or college and everyone was wearing them.
Yeah.
People were wearing them in the gym. Just looking stupid.
I mean, but dude, just imagine he's sprinting up this hill, 100 degrees, wearing this mask, whether they work or not. I was like, this dude's insane. I cannot believe he lives here.
You know the hardest part about restricting oxygen? It's not necessarily like when you're doing the actual movement, but you know like when you stop and you're trying to get these deep breaths and you can't
recover.
You can't recover.
Yeah.
It's like when I remember I was training for Leadville and I bought that oxygen tank that would simulate different altitudes and elevations. Oh,
sleep with that like tent thing?
The tent thing.
Yeah.
And they had a face mask and you could, I mean, I could train at 14, 15,000 feet. And when I was actually training, it wasn't necessarily like that bad, but it was when I was trying to recover in between sets that you want to take a deep breath and you just couldn't. Like,
yeah.
It was like breathing through a straw.
I felt like that, like somehow I made it like 2 years without getting COVID. So stoked.
I never got it.
You never got it?
Never got it.
Come on.
Never.
That's bullshit.
Reds and greens, baby.
Dude, like the 1 month I fell off my reds and greens, I get COVID. Maybe that's what it is. Who knows? But yeah, I got COVID and I felt like that. Besides like the aches and pains, it was like this weird feeling of not being able to take like a full deep breath. Cause like I meditate, so I'm used to being able to like control my breath pretty easily.
Yeah.
And so like not being able to take a deep breath like that was, yeah, that was freaky.
Do you ever try running, just breathing out of your nose?
All the time.
I do that when I do slower zone two runs.
I don't make it very far.
Like how far?
6 feet.
Six
I get
feet
a couple breaths in with my nose. I'm like, all right, I'm going back to my mouth.
6 feet forward or 6 feet under?
I mean, it's pretty close. Pretty close. That's a thin line for me when I'm running. It's 6 feet over or 6 feet under. Yeah, I read that book, Breath.
Is it a training book?
It's a book about a guy who, and I really wish I knew the author's name. It's a great book. It's called Breath. And it's about a guy who just studied the ancient art of breathing, like back from different cultures, back from like Buddhist monks to different ancient tribes. All of these people, all these like ancient secrets of like being able to control their bodies and like reach deep states of meditation. And then like actually ended up doing a study at a university on breathing and like how crazy just breathing through your nose affects it affects your bone structure is what he found at the end of it. And it was like that book really opened my eyes after I started reading that. He's the one that like he started putting tape on his mouth when he goes to sleep.
I've seen there's companies now that sell those pieces of tape and they have a little slit in them.
Yeah.
And they're promoting that to wear during your sleep.
Yeah. It's, I mean, at least from that one study, a lot of really interesting results came out. Now, I'm not a scientist, obviously. I couldn't even read a study. I barely read the book. I mean, I listened to the book. So, but it was really interesting. So yeah, breathing is important.
What always scares me when I see those ads of people wearing those things over their mouth when they sleep is I imagine you ever like put tape on your lips and you pull it off and like it rips your lip skin off.
Hey, when are you doing that? What are you talking about? No, no, I don't. So, hey, do you ever pretend like you're being kidnapped and you just tape yourself up? When are you doing that?
Well,
no, you have to explain. You can't just talk about some shit like that and be like, oh, never mind, never mind, never mind. It's not me. It's my friend. My friend tapes his mouth. Hey, man, listen, I'm not going to judge, right? It's 2022. You do whatever you want, but please go on.
So I've never personally.
No, of course. Not you. Our other friend.
True story, though.
Mm-hmm.
Preston and Joe, when they used to work back in the warehouse in back orders, they would have the system they had back then looks nothing like the system now.
Mm-hmm.
So what Preston would do, and Joe would do this too, is they'd cut the tape off of the tape roll, they'd put it on their lip, and then they'd pack the box, and they'd take that tape off and put it over the ends of the packaging
right.
to seal it. I remember one time Preston did it, and he pulled that tape off, and it ripped the skin off his lip. Like I said, I don't put tape on my mouth.
Hey, it's all good, dude. Yeah,
but
for sure.
But when I see those ads, I think, like, imagine you wake up in the morning, you go to pull that tape off, it's not coming off, it rips that layer of skin off your lip.
Yeah, it's got to be some type of, like, medical tape. I mean, I had medical tape on me after my surgery. I had a surgery last year. And, like, that hurt like crazy. And I thought it was supposed to be like medical tape where it's supposed to come off nicely. No.
Dude, putting tape on like your skin compared to your lip is a completely different skin.
It's true.
Like layer of body.
Yeah. Yeah. Where else would it hurt if you put tape? Let's really dive in.
I could tell you a few places. So you recently moved the family from California to Texas.
Yep.
How's the transition been for the family?
It's been great, honestly. Like, my wife, she's a teacher, so she found a job, like, immediately. I mean, like, before, like months before we'd even moved, because there's just such a shortage of teachers.
There are, yeah.
It's crazy. And so, yeah, she found a job really quickly. I was moving out here for work, not at BPN. And so, for me, it was just like, it was exciting to be in a new place. You know, I had come out here obviously a few times for BPN before, and I knew I loved Austin. I have an uncle out here. My wife has an aunt out here. And so it was kind of like, this would be a cool experiment. Let's just like try it out. And I mean, we've been here since the 4th of July and absolutely love it. Like I really love it here. It's like a different vibe. I don't know.
In terms of the landscape or the people?
I mean, both. You know, it is like, it could not be flatter out here. And I, like, the skies are insane. Like, the clouds. Because there's, like, there's no context for, like, how, like, the depth of the clouds or the depth of the sky. Whereas in California, you're, like, surrounded by mountains everywhere. And so you kind of see, like, okay, these are where the clouds end. Here, there's no end to the clouds. It's just forever. So it's just... like every day we're driving around, we're just like looking around like, oh my God, this place is amazing.
The skies are bigger in Texas.
100% the skies are bigger.
Well, everything's bigger in Texas.
Hey.
There you go.
We're back to the tape. and yeah, man, it's just like the people too, like everybody's nicer. And like, I mean, like from my barista at the coffee house to like, I was at the post office yesterday, like, I had a conversation with the person at the post office. He's so nice. I'm like, I could be friends with this guy. And the post office back home, those ladies hated me. Like, they wanted me out of there immediately. And like, here it's just like, everyone is, I don't know, just more caring or just like more gentle with you. I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. It's just, but it's definitely different.
Me and Steph were actually talking about this last night because I grew up in Pennsylvania. And then when I got to Fort Benning, Georgia in 2013, I realized very quickly people were different here. Mm-hmm. People are friendlier, they're nicer, they're more welcoming. And that was my first introduction to Southern hospitality.
Yeah.
And then from Georgia to Texas, I still felt that Southern hospitality. Georgia was definitely different as opposed to Texas. Two different types of like pride in your states and areas. But that's one thing that will keep me in the South is the people.
Yeah, dude. So it was, so I when I got down here on the 4th, my wife and my two kids didn't get down here for another week. They were flying and I drove with my dad across from California to Texas. It was miserable driving that far with all of our stuff.
And two dogs.
Yeah, I had a 26-foot Penske, okay, and a trailer towing my car behind that, and I drove the other car. But I had to drive the Penske. There's so many details that no one needs to know this, but long story short, it was $4,000 cheaper to get the truck in Arizona and drive it back to my home in California and then pack up the truck rather than renting it in California because California is so expensive. And so I picked up the truck in Arizona and I drove it back to California. That drive, I was like, this should not be legal. Like, it's insane that I can go in, a driver of a Kia hybrid, a very tiny car, and I can just rent this 26-foot truck and then add on a 12-foot trailer. So I'm driving around a freaking tour bus, basically, on the freeways, and it's totally legal. It's crazy. Like, I actually almost killed so many people, I feel like.
How far is that drive from California to Arizona?
Normally, it'd be like 6 hours. But in a huge thing like that, driving as slow as I was driving, because it was also had like a cap at like 55 miles an hour. So it took forever. I think it took me like 8 hours to drive back. And then my dad, thank God, my dad drove from California to Texas.
So how'd you get to Arizona? Did you fly?
Yeah, I flew. It was a day, dude.
You flew to Arizona to get the truck, and yes. You drove it 8 to 9 hours back to California.
Yes. And that saves $4,000. It's crazy, right?
My gosh.
Dude, bro, it was a journey getting out to Texas, okay? But I'm telling you all of that to tell you this. I finally get to Texas. My neighbor, his name's Phil. He's like, I don't know, 88 years old. He's out there cutting his grass. We're talking. He's the nicest guy. Like, he invites us over for dinner. He invites me over. He knows that my family's not there yet. I go out for 4th of July, and my family's going to be there on the 6th. I go out to a friend's house, an ambassador, Jeff, a BPN ambassador. I went to Jeff's house for 4th of July. His family invited me over because they knew I was going to be alone. So nice. So I go to his house for dinner. I come home and I'm like already filled with hospitality that Jeff's family just welcomed me in. I come home, my grass, front and backyard is cut.
Phil.
Because, yeah, it was Phil.
Phil.
Phil had come over and I walked over and was like, hey, Phil, did you cut my grass? And he was like, I just wanted your lawn to look nice for when your family came by. And I just knew, you know, your wife would appreciate a cut grass. So I just went over, I just helped myself. And I was like, this is so nice, dude. Like, that would never happen in California. Like, never happen in California ever, 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 ever. So I was like, okay, this place is absolutely different. And I don't think Phil is, you know, a one-off type of a person. It's just, I don't know, man. It's a good spot.
There are good people. That may be one of those things, though, like, that never happens again in your life.
I know. No one's going to be like Phil.
They're
wild.
They're a diamond in a dozen.
Yeah.
What have you found that's been challenging moving your family across the country, getting situated in a new job, you know, kids in new daycares, schools, stuff like that? Like, well, what's been the most challenging?
I mean, dude, like all of it, like all of it all at once, you know, like, I mean, I think the most challenging would be my toddler is very used to like pulling him out of the structure that we had him in before of like, this is where you go to school. This is the time you go to school. This is when we come home. This is where we live. Just, like switching up a toddler's like complete life like that is always going to be stressful. And he is like, you know, he handled it pretty well, but there was like a 2-week period where it was really rough. Like he was screaming every day. He was just like, I don't want to go to school. I don't want. And it was like, he never acts like that. And so it was a really challenging couple of weeks where he like just started his new school and just trying to get him in there and like having him feel comfortable with the other kids and with the teacher. It was just like, that was hard. That was a hard 2 weeks. But other than that, honestly, it's just been, you know, just trying to get into the swing of things. Like my wife starts work a lot earlier now. Teachers start early here. Whereas in California, she had time to take both of the kids, drop them off, and then go to work. So it was like, I would help them get out, and then they'd leave, and I'd be like, all right, I got like, you know, a couple hours myself before I start work. So it was like, great. That is not the case anymore. Now it is like a marathon every day to get them. By the time my wife leaves, she does everything that she can, but it's basically like, I got to get the breast milk bottles prepped. I got to get my son's lunch prepped. I got to get my lunch prepped. I got to get the bags packed. I got to get Olive, my daughter, dressed. She's a 7-month-old. She's no help. I got to get Ryder dressed. He's a 4-year-old. Not only is he no help, he is a hindrance to all of this plan. Like he is like actively working against me to get us out the door. And yeah, I have to do all that and get them out by 7 in the morning so I can get to his school by like 7:15, wait in parent drop-off, which I forgot was like a thing. I got to wait in line.
I've heard a lot about this parent drop-off stuff.
Ooh, dude. It goes down in the parent drop-off.
I've heard.
It is a line, and if you don't move, these parents are not like, they're not playing around. Like, you got to get your kid out of your car and into that school quick. Like, thankfully, the teachers are out, so like, they technically, like, no parents are actually allowed in the school for like safety now.
Yeah.
And so the teachers come out and they walk the kids back, which is really helpful. But like, you got to get your kid out. And Ryder, like sometimes he's just like, no, I don't feel like it. Like he'll literally be like, no, nah, I'm not getting out of the car seat. I won't. I refuse. So I have to be like, okay, well, that's not an option. So I have to like pick up this four-year-old, take him out of the car, set him down, put his backpack on, get Mickey Mouse. You know, he's got this little stuffed animal, Mickey Mouse, which is just, he has to have this Mickey Mouse or his life is over. And so just get him out, get him to his teacher. Once he's to his teacher, he's fine. And he's, you know, he's really happy. But those are only some days. But yeah, it's, you're in for it. But yeah, it's all good.
We're in the newborn phase right now. And we had Jeff and Ellie over like 2 weeks ago for dinner. And they brought their daughter over, Julia.
Yeah.
Julia's birthday is the same as my birthday. August 1st.
Oh, really?
Yeah, August 1st. She turned one. I turned 32 recently. And Charlie, our six-week-old now, you know, she's just sitting crying and wherever she's laying as a blob. Julia is just like going.
She
moves fast. She's the fastest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah. She's a very fast baby.
I saw her reading all these books and not reading, but opening these books. I thought they were her books they brought, the cookbooks. She's just going through cookbooks. But I'm learning a lot as a new dad, right? And specifically right now, a lot about feeding, breast milk, the transportation of. I remember you telling me a story. I don't know if you want to share this or not, but transporting all the breast milk from California to Texas. We can cut it if you don't want to talk about that story, but I just thought it was interesting with the Yetis and the ice. And dude,
why would we cut? Don't, I listen. We will talk about anything you want except for me transporting breast milk.
I didn't want your wife to be like, Tony, why did you talk about?
No, she knew what she was getting. She knew what she was getting into with me. It was a journey. It was a journey. My wife pumps breast milk every day. I don't know why I was hung up on that. She pumps breast milk every day and she stores it and she freezes it, right? As they do. And she's had a stockpile, basically, of frozen breast milk that we've been storing, especially like leading up to Olive being in daycare. So this stockpile in my house in Anaheim.
How big is this stockpile? Like a big freezer?
Oh, yeah. It's a freezer full, dude. It's
like a chest freezer?
A chest freezer. Like it's, I don't know the cubic, but it's big. It's a lot. It's like it filled up an entire, like a massive Yeti cooler this big, full of breast milk. Okay. My girl's a producer. All right. My girl pumps. Okay.
She eat a lot of oats. I hear oats produce a lot of breast milk.
You know, she doesn't eat a lot of oats. I don't know if Thai food makes it, but you know, she loves Thai food. Yeah, she produces a lot of breast milk. And so we had a lot of breast milk and that breast milk, what I've come to understand now is liquid gold. Like, you do not mess with the breast milk. In the two kids that we've had and the two, like, you know, breast milk experiences that I've had now, I've dropped one bottle. And that bottle, dude, I still remember exactly where I was when I dropped that bottle. I saw it slip out. It was like slow motion. That thing hit the counter. Breast milk went flying everywhere. I felt terrible. I almost started crying just because I knew how much that meant to Meredith and how much work she had to go through to get that breast milk. Like, the fact that she saw how affected I was, it wasn't a big deal, but like, it was a big deal.
I spilled my first a few nights ago because our routine is when Charlie wakes up. Right now, she's sleeping like 7 to 8 hours throughout the night.
Uh-huh.
She'll wake up at like 4 a.m. Steph will feed her and I'll change her and then I'll get up for the day. And Charlie woke up, Steph fed her. And do you know what the haka is?
Yeah.
All right, so the haka was then sitting on the nightstand next to Steph. And I come over and I grab Charlie and I whip her around and her feet must have hit the haka.
Oh.
And all I feel is like my legs just soaking wet. I was like, what is that? I turned the light on. I was covered in breast milk.
That's rough.
I felt so bad.
Yeah, dude, it's so stressful. So knowing how important this breast milk is, I had like a literal like panic, trying to think of how am I going to get this breast milk from Anaheim, California to Austin, Texas? I had no idea. These are not things they like talk about. You know, it's like, what, like, where is the manual for this? So I just...
That sounds like honestly, there should be a company that does that.
There is a company that does this.
They ship breast milk.
Yeah. I'd have to literally sell one of my kidneys to be able to afford it because it's like this premium service. But like, I mean, maybe this is like, I don't know, celebrities' breast milk that is being carted this way. It's not my wife's breast milk.
Can I buy celebrities' breast milk?
Now that sounds like a company. It was a big challenge to take this breast milk. I had to basically get this big igloo freezer and just continually change the ice. Like every couple hours, I was checking on this breast milk.
Did you have an igloo or a Yeti?
I had a Yeti.
All right. The Yeti should have stayed cold.
It did, but it was like the top was freezing, or the bottom was frozen completely.
Okay.
The top, I had it like it kept melting. I mean, it was also in the dead of summer. It was hot. I had it stuffed in the back. I tried to like put it in the back seat, but it was just like, it was huge.
Yeah.
It was a whole thing. Because I also had my dogs. So every time I took the dogs out to go pee, when we're driving, it's just, dude, it was a process, man. Like every gas station I'm checking, I'm changing out the ice, making sure it's like the freshest ice. I don't want it to slosh around. I took this whole freezer from Anaheim to Austin and I didn't lose a single bag. When I pulled up, that was the first thing we pulled out of the car. Went right to the fridge, started putting it all in the freezer. All of it survived. Dude.
Impressive.
I earned some major husband points on that one. Major.
If you had to guess, like, how many ounces? How many bags?
Bags? I mean, like, probably like 80 bags.
Wow.
Dude, a lot. And each one of those bags is like between 2 to 4 ounces. She usually does like 4 ounce bags. Dude.
But they made it.
They all made it. I didn't lose an ounce of breast milk, bro. An ounce.
That's okay. Impressive.
I was pretty impressed with myself.
But other than that.
That earned me about 5 minutes of grace with Meredith. So that's all you can hope for.
But other than that, the move's been solid.
Move's been real solid. Yeah, move's been real solid. I never want to do that move again. Like, if we ever have to move like that again, just leaving everything behind.
Burn it.
I'll figure it out later because that was so... Dude, trying to move 2 kids, a wife, and 2 dogs. Wow. We had so much shit.
Well, let's talk about your new role now as my media director. So historically, I think sometimes people don't realize like the trajectory of BPN and then me creating content as well. Like I started creating content in 2014 on YouTube to build these platforms to grow BPN, right? And I didn't bring on my first full-time creative or media director until 2019, and that was Jordan Utter. And then Jordan was helping with my content, but also BPN's content. Simultaneously, BPN started growing, so Jordan had to go all in on BPN's content, which then I was, again, just creating, filming, editing my own stuff. This was 2019. And then 2020, it was off and on. I was editing some stuff. The BPN team was editing some stuff. Long story short, up until this point, up until like 2 weeks ago, a lot of the media direction and efforts were going towards the BPN team. And now we've kind of separated my, you know, Nick Bear Fitness, that's the company that it's under, Nick Bear Fitness LLC content and BPN's content. They both work together, but they leverage, you know, our content leverages the growth of BPN as a marketing acquisition arm. And up until a few weeks ago, there wasn't an actual team behind that. It was really just like me, a creative, me, 2 creatives, editing, directing some stuff. And I reached out to you when I knew you landed in Texas. And I think this was like, you were in Texas maybe 2 weeks at this point.
1 week, six days. And I get the text.
I texted you. I was actually talking to Jordan a while about it. I was like, hey, what do you think about Tony? He's like, well, I'm actually getting coffee with him in a few days. Let me feel it out. And I talked to Jordan about it. And I remember I was I was with Steph. I was overwhelmed with the amount of like content we were trying to produce and then balance CEO founder responsibilities. And then I just texted you saying like, I think I texted you, hey, do you have a minute to talk?
Yeah. That's exactly what it was. Hey, do you have a minute to talk? I'm like, yeah, Nick Bear, of course. Sure. Like, what do you want to talk about?
What did you think I was calling to talk about?
I thought you were talking, because so at the time I was in, this is a stupid journey. I was an ambassador for BPN. And then I was I never announced it because it was only a 3-month contract. And I was going to announce it after the 3-month contract, if it got renewed. And so I was an athlete at that time when you texted me. I was an athlete for BPN. And so I figured it was something to do with that because there was an athletic club coming up. I figured like, hey, can you like help promote this? Like whatever. So I was, you know, yeah, sure. Of course. I didn't know it was going to be like a completely like a life altering text message, very casual way to text, but I loved it.
Hey, yeah, second. Yeah. I need you to come work for me.
Dude, let me just explain. I like literally moved to Texas, not for BPN. You understand? No one believes that. Nobody believes that I did not move here to work here. I moved here to work for another company.
Yeah, I understand that.
Right? I know you understand that. No one else does. And so when I moved out here, I was like, this is great. Like, I'm working at this company. I have nothing against that company. I love that company. But then I was an ambassador for BPN. So like, I've like known everybody here for so long and like love BPN, love you. And so I was like, this is great. Like I can like, you know, do BPN events. So, you know, work this job, like life's good. Everything's like cool, calm, and collected now. Mm-hmm. And then you come in and just blow the spot up with like this crazy, crazy, life-changing opportunity.
I mean, we got like a solid team now, like you leading mm-hmm. the media department. We got Aaron, production manager. We got Ian. We got Yuli. We're growing the team. We're adding more people on.
Yeah.
I'd love for you to explain your thoughts on how content is going to change or evolve in the next couple of months and in the future.
Yeah, like
I... we've had a lot of conversations about this, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like I'm coming from a unique perspective because when I started watching your content, I was nearly 400 pounds on an elliptical watching you train for an Ironman. And I was like immediately emotionally attached to the content. And because it motivated me, it inspired me to like change my life. And so for me, the content, your content specifically, is so important. And like it has the potential to change so many lives. I mean, we saw it at the BPN birthday.
It was incredible.
So many people.
Incredible.
I mean, we took like a picture of like, you know, all of us former fatties. We're like that's what we call ourselves. We're going to have jackets. Anyway, the content has so much potential to change so many people's lives, and not just like for weight loss, just for anything. If you want to like get a new job or like, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, attain new something physical or, you know, some race, there's so much potential for that. And so for me, coming in as you know, like an outsider, but like, it's so weird. I've never started a job where I've already been so invested in the messaging and in the brand. I've done media, I've done advertising and filmmaking for over a decade now, but I've never been able to create things that I'm so closely tied to. And so it's like, it's a dream for me. And the way that I feel like the content's going to change is, I think like at a certain point, people see all the things that you do. They see you do an Ironman. They see you do a marathon, a sub-3 marathon. And then they see you, you know, go and run Leadville. And you're just like seemingly unstoppable. Nick Bear, he doesn't bleed. He's made of steel. It's Nick Bear, Superman, you know? And the reality is you're not. You are a normal human being, flesh and blood. You bleed, you have struggles, you're a new father, you have a lack of sleep, you've got meetings over here. You got meetings over there. The other day you were taking out the trash. And I'm like, what is this dude doing? Like, it's, you just, there's so many different aspects to your life that people don't see. They just see all these wins after wins after wins. And it's like, well, I want to bring back, and my documentary background wants to bring back into the videos and, you know, back into what your story is telling a more complete story and showing people more like the full picture. I feel like you get this a lot of this. You post a picture of you training. People are like, must be nice. You just get to work out all day.
Yep.
I would be in shape. I'd look like you if I got to just work out all day. And it's like, you guys have no idea. This, like, he's got this, he's got to work out, then he's got to go do this podcast, then he's got a meeting with all these different people. You're just like, you're managing so much. And from the outside, I don't think people understand how much you actually do, like, as a CEO and as a father and as a husband and all the different things you got going on. So that's like, really, that's my goal, is just to kind of try to show like a fuller picture of who you are as a human, more so than just all these different races you've done. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm excited for too, is to document more. It's one thing to consciously say, okay, let's document and then pull out the camera and start filming. But as soon as you pick up that camera and start filming, you're already out of the candid moment.
Yeah.
What I'm excited about the new approach now is we're documenting and filming everything. So we're going to capture these raw, real moments and reactions. Clear example, yesterday, myself, Kat, our chief revenue officer, and then Yoli, we went down to San Antonio to document a meeting with HEB. Now, this could be a massive trajectory pivot and change for BPN's course of a life. Really, like, essentially, HEB has about 390 stores in Texas. Texas right now occupies 14% of our online revenue. If we secure a retail approach and strategy with HEB, that will obviously impact revenue dramatically. Like, we'll make a whole lot more money. We'll have a greater reach. We'll have a partner that we can work with in an actual relationship and partnership. So we went down to HEB's campus yesterday, which was amazing. It was beautiful in San Antonio. And we filmed us driving down there and the interactions. Obviously, we couldn't film the meeting, but going in and coming out of the meeting. And before, historically, I probably wanted to film this because there wasn't a outcome yet. I would have, in the past, talked about it once we got the green light and the yes. But I would have never talked about the no.
And people love the process. You know what I mean? They love the build, right? Like, that's for me specifically, like, it's great. Cool. You finished the race. That's awesome. Nothing taken away from you. That's less interesting to me than all the like late hard nights and hard days that you had to like schedule your training around, all the different things that you're doing to get to that finish line. The finish line is one thing, but it's like the buildup, like the actual process of it all is to me the most interesting part. And so like for us and this, you know, hopefully this HEB partnership, like I want to capture all of this buildup. And if it is a no, shit, like this is a huge, like what now what? Like it's just all the story, you know, that we have to tell here. There's just so much that happens here that people don't know about. And I just want to put a lens on it.
Yeah, I learned a lot actually by failing that marathon. Mm-hmm. I was talking about previously where I said I was going to run a sub-3. I ran a 3:24. And I will forever, like, admit this. I told Jordan after that race was done. Said, I think failing this marathon was one of the greatest things that could have ever happened to me. Because now I have to do this redemption series and show people it's not just the win, 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 win. There is that loss and failure that's going to happen. How do you pivot and adjust and adapt to that failure?
Yeah.
All right, well, now I'm going to show you what it's going to take to actually run sub-3. And then when we did it, it felt so much better because we failed before that.
Mm-hmm. And Jordan was so good at capturing all of that type of content and so good at telling that story for you. So that's really just like, I'm just trying to bring it back to that and just trying to kind of pick up where Jordan left off for sure. And yeah. we have such a good team too. Like, it's insane. Like, the talent that's outside of this room, like, and speaking of Jordan, Jordan posted this quote that was like, to be a leader, it's not important that you're the MVP of your team. You just have to be able to lead the team. And like, the MVP might not be you, and that's okay. And I absolutely feel that way. Like, I'm not the MVP of this team. Like, I am by far not the MVP of this team. I'm the leader of the team, but I'm not the MVP. Like, we are stacked with talent. Yuli, Ian, Aaron, stacked. And, you know, the more the stories that we tell of you and the BPN team, that's the other thing is, like, there's so many interesting characters at work here. Like, those warehouse guys, there could be a whole Netflix series about the guys that we got working in the warehouse. They are all interesting. They're all funny. They have lives. They're all unique people. So it's like showcasing them more too, showcasing, you know, customer service, like every facet of the bill of the business is interesting. And if you're a fan of Nick Bear and you're a fan of BPN, that's what you want to see. You want to see like the whole picture. I want to see the ins and outs. I want to see the build, the process. Like, yeah, man, I'm jazzed about it. And it's not just the flight talking.
No, did you take flight?
No. Wouldn't that be hilarious? That's like, I'm fine, man. Yeah, we're going to make so much content.
I was like, Aaron, our production manager, the other day, he was sipping on Endopump midday. And we're like, what are you doing?
What are you doing, dude?
You know, this is for like a big bodybuilding pump session to like get more blood flow moving to your muscles, increase nutrient delivery, oxygen. Like, it looks like you're just typing on a computer right now.
Literally sitting at his desk, typing, drinking Endopump. Like it's in focus.
I lost a little bit of trust in Aaron when he walked in with that coffee the other day. Aaron.
He's going to be so upset that we're bringing up the coffee.
Aaron walked into the office with it must have been a 4 fluid ounce coffee cup. It looked like one of those fake coffee cups you get. Like if I had a 3-year-old and I went to the HEB checkout, and you know how they have those fake little plastic.
Ryder has a fake kitchen in his playroom. And he has a coffee cup that looks identical to the coffee cup that Aaron seriously brought into this building. Walked in to his adult job with this little toddler coffee. Bro, we need you to drink bigger coffee, Aaron. Okay?
I brought it up to him and his excuse was, it's like, what's craft? It's craft coffee.
I promise you, we talk about this coffee cup every day.
I was mind blown when I saw it.
He's so small.
He's like 7 foot too. So like this massive guy carrying this tiny coffee cup. Ugh. Yeah, solid team.
Solid. Super solid. Minus the coffee cup, we are solid.
All right, well, let's wrap this one up here.
Yeah.
Side note, we do need to schedule my singing lessons still.
You guys, I don't know if you know this about Nick. He has an actual desire to be a country singer. Like, this isn't like a joke or like a bit for YouTube. Like, he wants to be a cowboy hat wearing,
yes,
boot clanking, belt buckle shining cowboy singer.
100%.
It's crazy. There's so much work to do.
There's the only thing holding me back from achieving that is the voice.
And some would say that's the most important part.
No. Confidence is the most important part. I have the confidence.
There is plenty of guys right now in downtown Austin with all the confidence in the world. But it's really, to be the singer, you really need the voice.
But that can be taught. I'm not trying to be remarkable. I'm just trying to go from good to great.
So you're saying, I just want to understand where you think you are.
My awareness is spot on.
You're saying currently your awareness is telling you, Nick Bear, are a good singer right now.
I would say good, yes. Tell me this.
Yeah.
Can you teach me how to sing with my mouth taped shut?
You'd sound a lot better.
All right, we're out. That's an episode right there.
Peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Bear Performance Podcast. Please leave a rating and review on the platform you are listening to if you enjoyed it. It helps us to grow and reach more people with the intent of changing lives through the Go One More mindset. If you are ready to take your health and performance to the next level, head over to bpnsubs.com to take the first step.